Morning all, Wednesday, March 20, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. I'm Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Lots of guests this morning as Lozza and I get through on our lonesomes. And, well, we've got a new opponent for Tim Zhu. What, just less than 2 weeks out from his fight at the end of the month over there in Vegas. Of course, the teams are out for round three in the NRL. Lots of changes, again, in the halves as well. Has been a big feature early in the season. And we got the barrier draw done for the $5 million Tab Golden Slipper. And the rest of those final fields and barriers will be out today for one of the great meetings in Australian racing. And we've got a bumper race ahead of us on Saturday. And Gabe Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, they got six in the field, plus they got the emergency in Espionage as well. But Storm Boy yesterday drew gate two. And went $2.30 into $2.10. Switzerland, barrier 7, went 4 out to $4.50. But that's not deterring punters, that drift, because since the draw yesterday, with Tab in the hole, it is virtually dollar for dollar. By far the two best backed, as expected. Morning to you, Lozza. Can't wait for Saturday. Rose Hill, sit in front of the TV and consume it all. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Mido. Morning, everybody. There obviously would have been some disappointed people yesterday, but there would have been some excited people with the draw of the Golden Slipper. Hopefully, the weather will be okay. I know we're due for a bit of rain later in the week, but hopefully it's not too bad, and hopefully they're racing on a soft track on Saturday, and hopefully it's on the lighter side of soft and gives everyone an opportunity to run well. It is one of the great race meetings, Golden Slipper Day, a lot of group ones, and there's a lot of good horses, and there's some good colts in this race. I think there's only, four or five fillies in the race. There's a lot of colts. Boys in this field, but the two favourites, they're the ones that are the standouts at the moment, aren't they? Storm Boy in Switzerland, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if we get an upset somewhere along the line.
Well, it's going to be a hot speed, and you wonder whether something just sitting off them might get last crack and come over the top. You're right, four fillies in the race, Loz, amongst all the colts. So, hey, Asugi, the Blue Diamond winner, Lady of Camelot, Manal and Niza from the Moody Coleman stable with Damien Lane coming north to ride. They are the four fillies in the race. Just looking, I've got Rose Hill's forecast for the rest of the week in front of me. So today's the rain day, so to speak, for the week. 1 to 5 mils forecast. And then it's less than 1 mil tomorrow and Friday. Again, less than 1 mil forecast. Or a chance of, I should say. And on Saturday, it looks like 25 and sunny. 30% chance of less than 1 mil of rain. So provided that forecast is correct.
If that's correct, we should be racing.
Be okay.
Yeah, it should
soft
be soft.
Five.
Yeah.
Soft. Yeah,
it shouldn't be anywhere near. Shouldn't be anywhere near the heavy range. Mm. So hopefully that will be good, Bino, because it'll give everyone a chance on Saturday, and that's what you want. But again, you can't control the weather either. It's like the barrier draw. You can't control the barrier. You just got to get on with it, and hopefully your jockey can pull off a great ride, and the horse is good enough. It's just prepped at the minute.
Got a lean yet?
Oh, not really, but I can't take $2.10.
No, it'll. I'll be shocked if it doesn't get out.
Well,
I
look at it and go, that's a good horse and the best horse, but I won't be having a bet on it at $2.10.
Oh,
I'll try and bet around it. Mm.
Yeah, there's some angles you can take in this race. I mean, a couple of the horses with Victorian form, and I know Dave's keen on Hayasugi. I saw Ron Duffacy do a tweet yesterday, have to have something at 50-1 on Traffic Warden, just have a little speck. I followed him in, actually.
Yeah. Like Coleman from Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Karen's riding, Barrier 4. I'd never underestimate the Snowdens.
Never in a race like this. Two-year-old master trainers.
Espionage is there, too.
If it gets a run.
Emergency, you know. So, a lot of good judges are saying, if it gets a run, it'll be hard to beat. So we'll wait and see.
geez, straight charges, done nothing wrong either. Four races in the Quinella in each race, two wins. Comes out of that Todman just behind Switzerland as well. And you're getting, you know, when you got the top two in the market, particularly the top horse taking so much of the percentage to get, you know, $11 about straight charge.
What about the barrier draw yesterday? I don't know. I must have been leaving the gym around 11 o'clock and I just had the radio on and I was listening to the barrier draw as I was driving home. Did you see what happened there? All the wide barriers were out first.
No.
Yeah, it was amazing. Most of the wide barriers. And then, you know, the last seven or eight, it was all the inside barriers. So you would have been quite excited if your horse was coming out sort of towards the end rather than early, because it just seemed like they're all high numbers early.
And I saw Julia Ritchie, one of the co-owners of Storm Boy, sort of voice a little bit of disappointment when she drew two for the connections there for Storm Boy. They, you know, just a bit worried because it can be a little bit slow out of the barriers. They probably prefer to draw in the middle somewhere. So anyway, punters, didn't deter bookmakers from seeing him firm, as is often the case with these barrier draws. Inside horses, the horses firm. Horses that draw outside, they tend to drift. But certainly the hold, had a good look at it last night before I went to bed. They are the two. Punters seem to be at this stage of the week. You're in the Storm Boy camp or the Switzerland camp. But I'm sure by Saturday, other angles will be taken. And I'd expect Storm Boy to get out in the market.
Yeah, I don't think it can run around at $2.10, Mido, as I said, but most people would have enjoyed the fact you got barrier two, would you? But I suppose a lot of speed out wide, they're going to be charging.
You know what it's like if you just miss the start a bit, you're back in the ruck on the fence and you're riding for luck.
Yeah.
Well, you just know as a punter, when you see a wall of horses in front of you, when you're coming around the bed and wondering how the hell are you going to get out,
yeah. Yeah, it can happen. It obviously can happen as a two-year-old, but it's amazing, isn't it? Like the stat that, was it Davo produced yesterday?
Yeah, it's every year in the slipper. Fencing run.
Yeah.
18 of the last 20 winners of the slipper have been fencing run at some stage of the race.
Yeah. I wonder if it's because they're young and they run better on the rail. Like that gives them a bit of a sighting, you know, like they don't go wayward and...
Yeah, not sure. It's just a weird quirk, stat quirk of the race. Probably the most memorable, She Will Rain, I think it was 2017. I think it rained for about 40 days straight, it felt like, into that slipper. And obviously it was a very heavy track. In fact, there was real fear the race wouldn't be run due to the amount of rain in the lead up to that race. And I remember on the day, just, you know, every horse was getting off the fence. And it was Ben Mellon, wasn't it? Just stuck to the fence.
Fence, yeah.
And, you know, won pretty easily. So, you know, just at times you can outsmart yourself, particularly when there's a bit of rain around.
Well, I think what happens too, Mido, you if they decide early that the inside is off and they go away from there, all of a sudden that gets an opportunity to, I suppose, get better as the day goes on. And then sort of four or five races later, if you want to be game enough to try it, you might get the advantage.
Yep.
You might not. Mm. It might stay off, but sometimes it tends to happen like that.
Ken, absolutely. Killing season. Four on the floor as coaches wield axe. That's back page of the Daily Telegraph today. And there's Jaden Sullivan of the Tigers, Lockie Ilias of the Bunnies, Sean O'Sullivan of the Dolphins, Jackson Hastings was... the big story yesterday there of the Newcastle Knights. He's now been dropped. Jack Cogger to play in the halves with Tyson Gamble for their match against the Melbourne Storm, who will be without both their regular halves in Jerome Hughes and Cameron Munster for their game on Sunday. But what did you make particularly of Adam O'Brien's decision to make that change and drop Jackson Hastings again, two games into the season, as we spoke about with Lockie Ilias yesterday? The thing about Newcastle, though, Loz, it felt like there was real competition. If you bring Cogger in, it felt like that was a real competition as far as who was going to get that job. But the change is made early in the season.
Yeah,
so what have you made of it?
It has been made. What have I made of it? I thought Jackson Hastings was really good last year. I thought he was one of the big reasons. And they unlocked Kalen, him and Gamble. And they were one of the reasons why Newcastle performed so well. Am I surprised after 2 weeks? Yes. But I think it just shows the mounting pressure on coaches these days to get it right and get it right early. Cogger is a good player, but I don't think it's too much between Hastings and Cogger. So I don't think you're bringing in a superstar to replace Jackson Hastings. I think you're bringing in a very good player of similar ability. So how's it going to function? So they've obviously noticed something in his game that might unlock Gamble and it might unlock and bring Ponga back into play. So we'll wait and see. But he's been used on the bench. He's come on as hooker. Would have spent a bit of time there in the pre-season. But I think it just shows you that coaches are under pressure and they're not prepared to wait and back their charges anymore. You see with four halfbacks gone this week, well, three this week and one last week with Katara and O'Sullivan, then you've got Lachlan Ilias and Jaden Sullivan. If coaches aren't happy, then they're going to make that change. But it's difficult if you want to keep chopping and changing your halfback because they are the ones that are supposed to be in control of the team. And if you want to give them confidence and show belief in them, you've got to give them time as well. But if you keep rotating your halves every couple of weeks, I think you're going to get up and down results.
Yeah. I guess we expected probably Caesar to go and play with Lachie Galvin.
I expected that. But we expected that for round one too. I think we were all a bit shocked when that combination got announced. But Caesar was on the bench and we're thinking, why would you put Caesar on the bench and start Jaden Sullivan? But Benji had his own mind and said that it was all going to be performance-based and attitude and based on training. So obviously Bud got the nod in game one, was dragged against the Raiders, keeps his position, relegated to the bench, and now Aiden gets his opportunity to start. Lachlan Lilius, well, we went over that yesterday, and no doubt we'll talk about that as the week goes on. But Jackson Hastings, the one, there's some talk about how he didn't want to train yesterday, but that's understandable as well. I think it would have come as a shock to Jackson. Probably needs 24 hours to think about it and calm down and just get his mind in the right headspace to go back, because the last thing you want, if you're to go back and train with reserve grade, is kicking cans too. While that should have been sorted and you should have went back there and done the training, I can understand why he would have been upset if it's been sprung upon him and surprised. He could have handled it a little bit better, but he's got to turn around today and go back there and train hard and fight for his place back in that team. But we saw it last week. O'Sullivan was dropped. Katoa came in. We saw a different outfit with the Dolphins. But it's just not the halfback. It's everyone that has to turn it around and have a adjustment in attitude. I think that's the problem with some of these teams. It's just that they're just not everyone on the same page. Everyone hasn't turned up. You could tell last week with the Dolphins, when they turned up on game day, you saw the intensity in the dressing shed, I thought. You could see them sort of before the game sitting there, looking down, looking at each other. Wayne Bennett just sitting there, that steely look in his eye. You just got the feeling before the game that they were up. And some of these teams, I think, will bounce back this weekend if they've got that attitude adjustment.
Gee, it's a fine line when you think of the Knights, though, don't you? Let's face it, they should have won that game in Townsville last week, and you wonder if they do win that game.
Well, they do. Jackson Hastings stays, I would assume.
Yeah.
They keep the same 14.
It's harsh, isn't it?
Or they might sort of rotate that. Jackson Hastings. They might name the same team, but start with Cogger and put Hastings on the bench. But Brayley is back this week. But it just shows you, Mido, that, if you've got a bit of depth, even though you haven't got a standout in those positions, then coaches are prepared to pull the trigger pretty early. And they've got to back their judgment because it's a results-driven industry, regardless of how many years you've got to go on a contract. And I think it just shows you that they want results, are expected to get results, and the pressure is starting to build. But I expect Newcastle to bounce back this week against Melbourne. No Jerome Hughes, no Cameron Munster.
They should win that game.
Newcastle should win.
Yeah.
If they're going to play finals footy this year, if they're playing finals football this year,
it's a big game.
They have to win. And if they don't win, I'd be concerned if I was a Newcastle Knights supporter. I know it's still going to be tough against Melbourne, but I think this is a game they've just got to find a way to win.
Yeah, Melbourne get Wishart, or put Wishart in the halves with Jonah Pezzett. They were hoping to bring Suafar Longo, who scored 3 tries playing for the North Sydney Bears in the New South Wales Cup on the weekend, but he's picked up an ankle injury, which is a massive blow, shame for them. They would have had him probably in the 14 jersey. And Christian Welch is out due to concussion as well. So, and I know the Knights have Greg Marzu out. But there's this narrative in regards to Hastings or Cogger and unlocking Kalen. But, you know, it's more to just the halfback, isn't it, doing that? I mean, on the text line, Ryan says one of the reasons the Knights struggling is Dom Young's not there. They lack yardage coming back from a kick. Oh,
and you could deep dive, and when you deep dive, that's a reason as well. Yardage, the ability of the forwards to get over the advantage line, create space. Both Cogger and Hastings, the ability to play square rather than sideways. And when I mean play square, straighten the attack up. Because once you start to straighten the attack up, the defence has to come forward and it has to come. It can't sort of hold and then drift. So if you play too early before the line and pass, as a defender, you just drift out and you shift the attack closer to the sideline. So you run them out of space. Whereas if you square up at the defensive line, it makes everyone come forward and there's still space on your outside. And that then unlocks Kalen. If you can play off a quick play the ball, the halves can play square. That's what they were doing well last year. But again, you know, they're not getting field position, so the kicking game is struggling. They're not getting yardage as well as what they did in that 10-game winning streak. They're not getting Kalen involved in the game. They're not squaring up as much as what they did. But not many teams will go to North Queensland and get a win this year. They're a good side. And they nearly won. They went to extra time. So, I don't know whether it was... I don't think it's a panic selection, but I think it's a selection that shows they want results and they're not happy. And if you're not performing, then I'm prepared to make changes.
On the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, ahead of the Roosters and the Bunnies, there's a great picture of Sam Walker as a kid in a South jersey. And apparently he hated putting that South jersey on. He wanted nothing to do with the Bunnies, even as a kid, even though his dad, Ben, played for them. So a little story there. And the build-up, he hated the Rabbits, nothing has changed, is the headline. As we look ahead to the build-up between the great rivals on Friday night and also NRL reigns in Triple M after Latrell backlash. Gosh, we're sick of talking about this, aren't we? NRL boss Andrew Abdo has rejected suggestions the league is afraid to hold Latrell Mitchell to account in the wake of his post-match expletives. And Abdo essentially said it's been blown out of proportion yesterday. He says he'll speak to Latrell when the time is right. He pointed to instances involving Brandon Smith and Toby Rudolph and, I guess, comments considered contrary conduct and that they weren't sanctioned either. So that was the fallout yesterday as he launched multicultural round. Andrew Abdo naturally was asked extensively about the NRL's response to Latrell's comments or post-match interview on Triple M last week. And a result out of that is the NRL sent a reminder to the radio network's covering that they can't post vision, and that is due to, well, I guess Channel 9 and Foxtel, they pay obviously enormous money for visual rights, so even the radio stations can't post sort of vision on the field post-game because they're not allowed to. So it's just been a reminder of that. So it's not just Triple M, but, you know, they can't post
all radio
vision
broadcasters,
on their social media channels, so... Gosh, anyway, I can't wait till we can move on from all this anyway, Loz. So thank goodness we've got a game of footy tomorrow night. But plenty of stories as well in regards to tomorrow night's game. Back page of the Courier Mail, final word, Walters, grand final choke hasn't broken the group. Broncos just sick of talking about, obviously, the grand final loss of last year ahead of the rematch against the Panthers tomorrow night. And on the front page of the Courier Mail, gee, it's a huge issue, isn't it? What's going on with the Olympics in 2032? I even saw a report from Channel 9's Tim Arvier in Brisbane that the Queensland government explored, and he stands by the story, the journalist, that the Queensland government even has explored scrapping the games, which would be a disgrace.
Yeah, I think they knocked it on the head pretty quick, though, didn't they? I think the government got involved, the federal
government. Just that they...
Yes. Yeah, they had a discussion. It. Yeah, they had a discussion about it. But if that had have occurred, I think Australia on the world stage would have looked terrible.
We were once seen as being, a great exponent and host of, global events.
Well, on the back of the Com Games
in Victoria. Yeah. As well, but it's a huge debate over stadiums in Brisbane and what to do, where to spend the money. And it looks like the current Queensland government, remember there's an election later this year, wants to shun the independent investigation that it ordered, shun the recommendations and develop the QE2 stadium for the athletics and have the opening and closing ceremonies at Suncorp Stadium. So that's being heavily debated there in Queensland.
Well, we'll put our hand up for it, New South Wales.
We'll have it. We'll have it again.
See?
They wouldn't let that happen, though.
No.
They'd find the money all of a sudden very quickly, I reckon, Loz.
Well, that's all you'd have to do is just say, New South Wales will be interested in having it. And there has been some reports that New South Wales have put their hand up for it. So I think Queensland wouldn't like that to happen.
I think they'd find a way.
They would.
Big show this morning. Dick Vane not too far away. We've got Damien Cook, South Hooker, coming up in about 40 minutes' time as well. Dean Bulldog Richie. Gee, I tell you what, what's he got against Orange and Black, Dean Bulldog Richie?
Yeah, he hates the Tigers.
Tigers, Giants in the paper today. Yeah, he's got stuck into them as well.
Yeah, bagging the Giants. I think he's just slept ordinary over the weekend.
He was great recovered on Friday.
Hadn't recovered from Friday, the little bulldog. You know, he strong-armed me into going to two pubs on Friday. I was going home. I wasn't drinking.
Yeah. He was in a mood.
Yeah, he was in a mood.
He was ready to go. It was quite funny, actually, at one stage, because he was sitting, two seats from him on the same table. Blokes came and tapped you on the shoulder and wanted a photo. Yeah. And he gets, you've never seen a bloke take, duck to water, just gets up. Come on here, boys, arms around both of them.
Just knew what to do.
And he looks at me and goes, just sort of brush me away. He's just doing this. Get away from me. Get away. So he was in outstanding form. But, the Tigers and the Giants in his sights.
Well, the Giants are going to be difficult to beat. And I know we had, the Swans are going to be difficult too. They're both two to start the season, and I don't know. But early in the year, I reckon you get a good indication of how teams are travelling. And I know you can go through ups and downs as the season goes along. But the way the Swans are winning without a couple of key players, and the Giants have just improved, and are so far in front of where they were this time last year. And they just missed out. It's hard not to see them sort of finishing in top four, and then anything can happen once you get there. So things are looking good for the Giants and the Swans. Tigers, though, the same old problems occurred on the weekend under a different coaching regime. But they get a good opportunity back at Leichhardt, I think, this weekend.
They are.
I think it's Leichhardt Oval against the Sharks. Mm. So the Sharks have been impressive their opening 2 weeks. So the Tigers, show us something this week. Show us something this week.
So Bulldog will tell us about all these little battles in an hour's time. We've got Anthony Drimmick as well. Tasmania Jack Jumpers forward. Game 2 of the Championship Series against Melbourne United is Friday in Tassie. So we'll preview that with him. Brad Davidson, Adam Pengilly, Mitch Menes as well. And Milo Jedinak, former Socceroos captain, now assistant to Ange Postecoglou there at Tottenham. And ahead of the Tottenham coming to Australia yet again to play Newcastle at the MCG May 22. We'll have a chat to Milo Jedinak later this morning. Dick, hello, how are you?
Boys, my favourite 3 weeks of the sporting calendar begin in less than 48 hours when you're talking about 2.5 weeks of the NCAA tournament rolling right into the Masters. I am officially in my sports wheelhouse right now.
Oh, I know you love it, Dick. Well, you talk about the NCAA tournament. Who are you looking at? Who should we be looking at over here in Australia?
UConn is the most complete team. They should defend their championship. However, should usually doesn't happen in the NCAA tournament. So, I can't bet them at $4, $5, whatever you have them. I mean, I just... I don't think I can ever go into an NCAA tournament and put a plus 500 on a basketball team in a 64-team tournament. So while if I had to put everything I owned on one team, they are the most complete team. But I am not going to bet them. I'm going to go down the board a little bit. I'm going to give you a four-pack of teams that I think have really good value where they're placed. Now, you may have slightly different numbers than I do, but I've got Duke at plus 3,000. I've got Kansas at plus 4,000. I've got Marquette at plus 2,500, and I've got Creighton at plus 3,000. I think all four of those teams are capable of winning a national championship. They're all talented enough to win a national championship.
Ooh, Dick's dropped out.
We've lost him.
Duke was the one I was thinking of. They
perennial powerhouse.
They always go well, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're a perennial powerhouse. I saw Creighton have caused some, been one of those sort of teams that have come from nowhere and become a bit of a powerhouse this season.
The other one was, is it Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Are they always a powerhouse?
In the last decade have been there and thereabouts as well.
Yeah.
We got him back. Sorry, Dick, we lost you there. So you gave us Duke, Kansas, Marquette, and Creighton.
Yes, and I just think the value of those four teams at four or five times the value of Connecticut is definitely worth taking those longer odds.
Okay, beautiful. We'll keep a good eye on that over the next couple of weeks. While we're there, we may as well talk NBA. And, what about the poster dunk yesterday for Anthony Edwards for Minnesota against Utah? That's one of the better ones. Well, certainly I reckon the best one we've seen this season.
No question the best one we've seen this season. And, I think Anthony Edwards probably has maybe two or three of the best poster dunks that we've seen in the last three or four years in the NBA. But he admitted after the game yesterday that was his greatest dunk of his career. And he also admitted he couldn't celebrate it because he dislocated his pinky on the follow-through. So he was in pain when he went down with it. But just an incredible jam. I still think my favorite jam of all time is in the Olympics with Vince Carter over Frederick Weiss when the Team USA was playing France. Look that one up on YouTube, kids. That's worth a scene. When a guy dunks over a 7'2" guy, it's pretty impressive. But, yeah, this is the best one I've seen in a long, long time. And the T-Wolves are right there. I mean, my only question with the T-Wolves are, will they be able to do it when the lights are shining the brightest? Because they have never, this iteration has never advanced deep in the playoffs.
I know he's not everyone's favorite, Dick, but did you see Kyrie Irving the other day for the Mavericks against the Nuggets?
I did, the buzzer beater. Yeah, he's certainly not everybody's favorite, but that's a big win for Dallas. I mean, Dallas doesn't want to play in the play-in game. I mean, Dallas wants to be safe, right? Dallas wants to be in that sixth spot so they don't have to worry about the play-in game and they can sit around and wait to see who they have in the next round. So they've got to get past Sacramento right now, just a half a game back, but that was a big win for Dallas there. They're playing pretty decent basketball. There's really, the Nuggets are the Nuggets, and other than that, there's not a lot of teams that are just really playing excellent, excellent basketball right now. Boston's playing well as usual. Those are your two best teams in each conference, and I don't think teams really care all that much about where they're seated, whether they're a three or a four or they're five. They do want to avoid the play-in games, so they don't have to play extra basketball. But right now it's Boston in the West, it's Denver, or excuse me, Boston in the East, Denver in the West, and then I still think the Lakers. The Lakers are funny, right? They have one game where they look unbelievable and they win by 25, and then they kind of had a stinker over the weekend as well. So I still think the Lakers are live by the time the playoffs start. They just got to make sure they solidify their play-in spot.
Okay, NFL, let's wrap free agency. And the big move, certainly, which was expected, Chicago trading quarterback Justin Fields to Pittsburgh for a sixth-round pick next year, which could become a fourth round. Now, I've never been a believer, Dick. I don't think he can pass. He's won 10 games, 10 and 28 in his career so far. And this will prove that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that the value was so low for Justin Fields. I mean, he is a dynamic runner. He is only one of three players at quarterback that have ever rushed for 1,000 yards in a season, along with the likes of Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson. So he does have an elite skill set that is valuable now at that position. It wasn't really valuable that much 20, 30 years ago, but it is valuable at that position. If he could just fine-tune himself to even be a mediocre passer, which is what Lamar Jackson's done, right? Lamar Jackson was just a runner. He fine-tuned his passing abilities, so at least now he's an above-average passer, and that's all you need Justin Fields to do, but he's going to have to win that battle over Russell Wilson.
What about the schemes that they run, Dick? Does that suit Fields if he gets an opportunity, and will they use him in conjunction with Wilson?
It's Russell Wilson's job. I mean, Russell Wilson will have to fall flat on his face not to say that Justin Fields will never be used. There might be some packages. I think that'd be smart to use Justin Fields in some packages, maybe around the goal line. But it's Russell Wilson's job. Now, if it's the Russell Wilson that we saw in 2022, Justin Fields could take his job. Russell Wilson's only being paid $1 million, so the Steelers have no financial reason to continue him as their quarterback. But I think the Steelers' best chance to win is probably with Russell Wilson, but then they have an outstanding backup and a guy that they can watch for a year to see if they want him to be the heir apparent to Russell starting in 2025.
Now, the Rams, defensive tackle Aaron Donald retired. Where does he rate as far as, well, I guess even players, defensive players in NFL history is concerned?
Right there with Reggie White as the best interior defensive lineman ever to play the game. Certainly the best of this generation. I don't even know if there's a close second to Aaron Donald in this generation. You got to go back to the 90s and Reggie White to find an interior player that was this dominant. So first ballot Hall of Famer, absolute all-timer, and a great guy as well. I mean, a guy that is just well-liked, well-respected around the league. You saw all the tweets from quarterbacks, right? From Russell Wilson and from Kyler Murray, you know, kind of a good riddance tweet with a little wink, like, yeah, I'm glad you're not going to just rip my head off and throw me to the deck, you know, 10 times a year. Like you usually do. Russell Wilson, I saw, has been sacked more times by Aaron Donald than anybody. He's been sacked 15 times by Aaron Donald in his career.
Scotty Scheffler got it done again. Dick, I suppose he'll be the favorite. Well, I'm assuming, you know, he'd be the favorite heading into the Masters, is he?
Yeah, I'm seeing almost Tiger Woods' favorite, guys. I mean, I'm seeing Tiger Woods in his prime-type numbers. I'm seeing plus 400, plus 450 for Scottie Scheffler at Augusta. I mean, Tiger came, you know, went in at, you know, plus 300, plus 350, so it's not a lot of difference right there between the two. And like we've always said about Scottie, if he can putt reasonably well, he'll be in every tournament with a chance to win. If he can putt better than reasonably well, he's going to run away with tournaments. And now for 2 weeks in a row, he's putt better than reasonably well and coming back to win this last week and then pretty much winning easily last week. So, I mean, I wish I could bet Scotty this week, but he's not in this field.
Yeah, he's 5-1 or $6 with us. He's Scotty Scheffler for the Masters, of course, which wraps up in the middle of April. Now, as far as the Valspar is concerned this week, we've got Xander Schauffele, who was very good, of course, last week in the Players at $8. Sam Burns at $12. Justin Thomas, $13. Spieth, $15. 20-1 and longer the rest. Wyndham Clark's lip out, though, that's what I want to ask you about. That's one of the more cruel you'll ever see.
Really was, guys. It was funny. I was showing my son the video of it. We were watching on recording, actually in the car coming home. My wife was driving, of course. We were watching the golf, and I was like, "Hey, man, this is for the playoff right here." And we're watching with bated breath, and we both thought that thing was going down, lips out. And I just looked at my son, and he just had this look of amazement, you know, wide open mouth and everything. And then they showed the highlight of Scottie Scheffler and him watching it. And it was the exact same reaction that my son had. It was very funny, just like speechless that didn't go in. But, you know, hand it to Wyndham Clark. He has gone through a lot of confidence battles, a lot of mental battles. He has never had a physical issue with being one of the top 10 golfers in the world. What has kept him out of the top 10 is all upstairs. And we saw in the latest Full Swing documentary on Netflix that he's gone to a swing coach, and it's just a mental coach, rather, that has really transformed his game. And now he's got a major under his belt, almost had a Players' Championship, and he is very, very live for every one of the majors this year.
Aaron Rodgers for Vice President, Dick? I mean, God, seriously, is there a more Aaron Rodgers story than this?
No, there's not a more Aaron Rodgers story, but, you know, I guess he fits perfectly with the candidates we have running for president anyway. I mean, we got a country of 350 million people, and these are the two we're putting up for president. So I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you there. But, oh, I didn't give you a pick for the golf, did I?
Yeah, go for it.
I think Xander should win this week. Xander needs to win. He hasn't won since the Scottish Open in 2022. It's like, come on, man. You're top five almost every single time you take the course. You have to win in a field like this. So, I mean, Xander should be the winner. Sam Burns should be right there. He's won this twice. He loves this. They should be the two favorites up top. A couple of guys a little bit lower that I'm looking at right now. I haven't bet them yet, but I'm looking at Doug Gim. I'm also looking at Nick Taylor and Christian Bezuidenhout. So if you like those guys in that 25 to 35 to 1 range, there's a couple of names down there that I like.
Okay, love it, mate. Thank you so much, and we'll chat next week. Enjoy the start of March Madness.
Oh, can't wait, boys. We'll talk to you.
Great stuff. Dick Fain there, and for the NCAA Championship in the basketball. The final is Tuesday, April 9, the National Championship final. Connecticut, last year's winner. So last year, Connecticut, UConn beat San Diego State in the final, 76-59 it was. And they are the $5 favourites to repeat. Houston at 7, Purdue 8, Arizona $15, 17 and longer the rest. Now, the four bets that Dick gave us for the tournament, he gave us Duke, who were $34 with Tab. Creighton at $21, Marquette at $21, and Kansas, who were $34 as well.
Do you get into the college basketball?
Only I'll watch
this
the national championship.
Right.
When that's on.
Yeah.
I'll tune in, see who's playing, watch the watch
Very
the
popular,
end.
Isn't it? Because like when we're in Vegas and you're walking through the casinos, like on the big screens, they've got college basketball up and people are sitting there watching it. They take a big interest in the
big
college.
I'm
assuming it's the football as well. Well, I do. I know it's the football they love, but also the basketball. They just get right into it.
Obviously, big betting sport.
Yeah.
And the thing with college is everyone, you know, has that emotional attachment because so many people go to college in America, so they have that attachment.
I get all that, but it's just so popular.
Yeah.
Whereas here in Australia, I don't think you'd ever get to a situation where you'd be that passionate about your college or your
university.
University.
Yeah. Nah, we just don't have that culture about our unis.
No, you know. Mm. And they always go back and support and watch. And like you see that people that turn up to their football games, like they sell it out all the time.
Unreal.
You know, they can have 80,000 people there at a college football game.
Give us a call, 1353 53 on the text line, 0419 767 272. One here, a tip for us. Morning Legends, I got a horse racing in Canberra today that we are very bullish about. Race 3, number 3. I'm a lover boy. Gratz Villa, of course, said he cannot fault the horse leading up to tomorrow's run. He's confident the horse will be better behaved at home than he was earlier in the campaign. He has been hitting the line superbly. The step up to 1,600 metres looks perfect. Currently at $7, Killer from Wagga.
Killer, you sound like Stanley.
The case.
Stanley gets me every week with something like that.
He sold it well. I might have to have something on it. So today at Canberra, race 3, number 3, just looking this up to give us a current price. Yes, you were $7.240 the place. Third up today, 1,600 metres. Now, when you say the horse will be better behaved at home than he was earlier in the campaign. Yeah, what was he doing?
That doesn't give me confidence.
What was going on there?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't miss the start or anything like that.
I'd have to go back and have a look. Mm. But good luck to you and all involved. What have you drawn? You've drawn five. Of course, we've still got to wait for scratching time, but one horse has come out. So five in a field of now 12. It looks like an open race, 440 the field. So good luck to you and all the connections there. Well, speaking obviously about the Knights earlier and the fact they've dropped Jackson Hastings, and Rooster 83 says, "Morning lads, with the Knights, it's like they believe their own hype. You can see in the game against the Raiders, they thought they'd score from every play, basically didn't want to do the hard work. They looked better against the Cowboys, but need to get back to what got them to the finals last year."
Fair call.
Says Rooster 83.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think against the Raiders, they tried to move the ball and just assume that it was going to happen for them. But then they were put under a bit of pressure by the Raiders and they came up with plenty of errors. Then last week they played direct and Adam Elliott scored a great try just by running in behind the back of the ruck. And when you establish good go forward and you have quick play the balls, it's always easier to play on the front foot. But then they, I don't know whether it was a fitness thing or just an attitude thing, or like a mental thing. They just made simple errors. But it was quite humid up there as well, possibly not used to those type of conditions, and allowed the Cowboys back into the contest. But Cowboys would be hard to beat at home. They're a very good side.
What's the latest with Foxy Cleopatra, Loz?
She's been nommed for a few races. There's one this weekend, but I'm unsure what she'll do. Is it the Epona this week?
Okay, let me have a look here. Yeah, you've been nommed for the Epona over 1900. Yeah. Yes. And a race at the Valley, the Sunline over the Mile on Saturday, of course. Yeah. And the William Reid's on Saturday as well. That's a change the Valley have done. So the William Reid on Slipper Day. And Imperatrix is odds on, as you'd expect. Mm. Okay, so the Epona, 1900. Might be a good race for you.
I haven't.
Slipper Day.
I've sort of not lost interest. I shouldn't say lost interest, but I've had other things. I've had to take care of first and foremost, you know, rather than worrying about a horse.
Busy life.
Yeah, busy life, busy lifestyle. But wherever she...
So it looks like she will race Saturday.
Is that the indication? Yeah, either here or down in Melbourne. But in Trent and Natalie, we trust.
Sounds like
in it. In T-Bus. Come on, T-Bus.
Find me an owner that isn't bullish, says Fitzy. I'm with you there. Don't worry about that. Love it. Caden's on the line. G'day, Caden. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. What have you got for us?
I'm just a bit upset about the Raiders selection this week. What's Laurie's thoughts?
On the Raiders selection? With Whitehead coming in and Hosking going back to the bench?
Hosking, Mariota, Schiller, the works.
Yeah, well, I think it's hard to drop too many players. I think Elliot Whitehead is the captain.
I agree with that.
Gets an opportunity to come back in. And you know what? He might even start on the bench and they might still go with Zach to start
with. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
They might go down that path. And Elliot's a captain, so he has to sort of come back. Who was the other one, did you say, mate?
Well, Mariota out for...
Yeah,
they got rid of Mariota.
Yeah, well, he had to come out because Elliot came in. And the other one was Kotrick comes in because of...
Seb Chris.
Concussion. Yeah, he didn't come up with concussion.
Yeah. Well, Schiller, I don't know. I would have liked to see Schiller there.
He played well last week. I watched a bit of that game. They were just too good. Yeah, he's a very good player.
Really
they got
good.
Some, like, even Trey Mooney's a really good player.
I don't know. This week's got me. I would even prefer to see Mariota there over Gula, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing about it is that they've got plenty of depth and they've still got Big Red to come back. And they've got they've got some good young forwards. So if people don't hold up their end of the bargain and play good football, I don't think Ricky will tolerate that. And in particular with the forwards, they've got a bit of depth, so they can afford to sort of make some changes so everyone's on their toes and be playing well. So even like with the hooking role, like Levi
Tommy Starling, young Zach Wolford's playing in the second grade as well. So, like, they're three good hookers, you know, that if something happens.
Yeah, we definitely got the depth. I just thought, you know, going to New Zealand against the Warriors, it's I'm a bit dubious this week, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I reckon the Warriors have played some decent football in the opening two games and look a dangerous side. The Raiders, though, they're always going to be tough. They're going to be tough to beat because I don't think they'll beat themselves. You know, yeah, and the opposition is going to have to play really well to beat them because they're a tough, hardened footy team. I like what Ethan Strange did last week. Strong run of the ball. Savage has got his confidence back. Timoko out wide's a threat every time he gets the ball. But yeah, now, there's a lot to like about their performance. But in terms of Zach, yeah, I can understand where you're coming from. But I think Elliott's got to go start in the side. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he comes off the bench.
Caden, appreciate the call, mate. Yeah, that game's the 6 o'clock game on Friday night. It's in Christchurch and it is sold out. Big game for the Warriors, isn't it? Considering, of course, they're 0-2 and really should have won that game, of course, last Saturday night.
They should have been 0 from. They should have been
2-0 with all the ball they had against the Sharks.
They should have put the Sharks to the sword with the amount of possession they had, and they got away to a lead. And then allow the Sharks to come back into it. And then the opposite thing happened to them against the Storm. They came back and had the foot on their throat and then allowed the Storm back into the game. Not good. That's not a good sign.
$1.40, the Warriors with Tab. Canberra, $3 or plus +7.5 at the line there. Ross, g'day, Ross. How are you, mate?
Not bad, boys. Now, South and Newcastle. It's not on the field, it's off the field dramas. At Newcastle, they've got salary cap problems. Hastings is signed in the 25 on big money. They want him out. They've offered Tyson Gamble a contract of $250,000. So that's their first point.
Yep.
Second point is, doesn't matter if Demetrio gets South to the semis, he's a gone man. But Bennett will be there next year. Burgess won't come back while Latrell and Cody's there. So that's the point.
Yep.
Now, isn't it funny? A coach has been coaching for 40 years and a coach who coached for 1 week, both dropped their halfbacks.
Yeah, it is. And they'd be hoping for the same result. A lot of the coaches that dropped their halfbacks this week because Wayne Bennett did it last week and got an instant result. And young Katoa was really good. It's a brave call when you're sacking halfbacks, but I don't think it's as brave as people think. If there's not too much between the two halves,
if
there's not too much between the halves, it's easier to make that change. But if there's a standout and you've got to make that decision, if he's not in form, it's always harder then to sort of push him out. You've probably tend to give him a bit more time to come
through. So there'll be more smoke coming out of Newcastle because Hastings went home. And I think he wants out. That'll fire up more in the next couple of days.
Yeah,
he's been
right.
Six clubs in 8 years.
Six clubs in 8 years. Yeah, you're right. I'd have to. Well, are you including the over there in England? I suppose.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I think he's a good player, Jackson Hastings.
But he doesn't seem to get on with players. First year he's all right, but the second year they go cold on him, Laurie.
Yeah, it's interesting, Ross. I think he acknowledged early in his career he was a player that had his struggles and difficulties with people. But I thought he may have overcome that and sort of started to buy in. Now, I don't know, Ross, what's going on up there. I would have thought they would have given him maybe a bit more time. But when you're buying a guy like Cogger, who's played in a premiership-winning team the previous season, filled in so well for Nathan Cleary, there's a bit of pressure on you to perform each week.
Yeah, and Sam Burgess, Laurie's doing so good over Super League. Warrington's on top.
I haven't checked,
yeah,
but
they
yep. Oh, that's good. Semi will be a good coach in time, but I think it's too early for him to come back.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why I say Bennett will be at South, and Bennett will clean some of the players in the forwards out. Mm. They've been there too long. And there's a lot of players off contract, free agency, end of this year. Mm. There's a lot, Laurie.
Well, I reckon, Ross, if they were to make a change at South, Wayne Bennett would be the guy that they'd probably target. And then, obviously, Wayne's got a great relationship with Sam, so that might be the play.
It's more Russell Crowe. Russell's got a good relationship with Wayne.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well,
and they'll pay big money.
Yeah. Well, I think if he doesn't turn it around, Jason Demetriou, and they don't make finals this year, we'll go deep into a final series, and there's going to be plenty of questions asked. Plenty.
Ross, thanks for the mail as always, mate.
Look outside the square.
I'll have to dig a bit deeper. See you, mate.
Thanks for the call, Ross. Yeah, at Warrington, coached by Sam Burgess, of course. 4 wins, 1 defeat. Top of the ladder there with Wigan, who are 4-0, played 1 game less due to the World Club Challenge. St Helens are 4 wins, 1 loss, and Catalans 4 wins, 1 loss. They're the sides at the top. So what about Joshy Reynolds' old side, Hull? They got absolutely carpeted, 54-4 by Lee last weekend.
Did you see the article in the paper today?
Yeah, Bulldogs made a note of it.
In Bulldogs Bite. So it's a hard-hitting column that Bulldog writes every week. And he's sort of saying how if people think the journalists are hard over here, have a go at what this particular journalist wrote. Now, I'm trying to bring it up on my
computer. I've got it here, Loss.
Can you read it?
Yeah, I've got it here. So it was English Rugby League reporter Daniel Tomlinson in the Hull Daily Mail. And I'll quote this from the Hull Daily Mail in regards to this is Hull's 54-4 loss to Lee. Lee's coached by Adrian Lamb as well, aren't they?
He didn't have a go this journey.
No, he didn't. It was rudderless, gutless, spineless, pathetic, embarrassing, humiliating, and plenty of other more colourful adjectives that we can't use on these pages. There was no energy in Hull's performance, no urgency, no passion, or no pride. It was soulless.
You reckon he's a supporter? I think he might be a supporter of the club as well as the journalist.
Think you might be right. Hull Daily Mail. Reckon you're spot on.
Yeah.
Okay, so not missing at all. On the text line, we've got a tip of Pukekohe as well, Loz. Race 7, number 7. Persiflage. Eventually open 360 is now $2.80, says Blueback. So the tips are coming left, right and centre. Gee, that's harsh. Mitch from Robertson just getting stuck into Bulldog.
It's very true though, Mitch. Very true. Obviously, you saw Bulldog firsthand on Friday. And this one has made me chuckle. Loz, when Bulldog comes in, can you please ask him, why does he stand when he's on NRL 360 when the others sit around the table?
Of course you're going to laugh.
Oh, I just find that great humour.
He's not here to defend himself.
Well, he will be later.
G'day, Cookie.
Morning, guys. How are we feeling?
Just been a quiet week for you, blokes.
Oh, that's it. Nice and quiet.
Oh, never a dull moment.
Good for the sponsors, mate. They're getting a lot of airtime on the TV. So.
That they are. Well, let's firstly get into what happened last Thursday night and what you took out of it. I'm sure it was a painful review from your loss to the Broncos. What are the key areas that, you know, you sort of must improve out of that, Cookie?
It was it was painful to watch again, and to be honest, for Brisbane as well, they weren't great either. There was a lot of errors from both sides. It was quite a physical game at times, but yeah, obviously we were working a lot harder because of the errors we all had, and just poor concentration at times. You know, you're going to have errors in games. You're going to have a few here and there, but then when you get some uncharacteristic like ones across the whole team, where just bad passes, drops in the play of the ball, stuff like that. It all added up, and it was just one of those nights where nothing seemed to work, and we felt like we're back on in the second half. You probably move into the 65-minute mark. It's all that work we had to do indeed just come back to bite us in the ass. So, it was just big work on for us. You know, we spoke about in round one, our DB needs to be a lot better. And I know the scoreline probably doesn't look like that, but our goal line D was a lot better, and there was something there, and a lot of fight there, which is good. It's just we had 3 kick tries as well, so that's another focus for us as well. But mate, when we play our good footy, we had some good sets, but in between it there was a lot of bad. So we just got to make sure we just keep looking in and trusting what we're doing and keep working hard, because we know we've got a good team here.
Yeah, you have got a good team on paper, Cookie, and you've got to put it together. And I know it's early in the season, but when you looked as though you were playing your best football, you were playing direct rather than trying to move the ball. Is that something you got to do a little bit more? And considering it's early in the season and it's easier to control, and if you're controlling the ball, you'll put pressure back on the opposition?
Yeah, exactly. We've probably just got to earn the right more to put our plays on. And at the moment, we're, you know, with the errors, we're probably getting a bit of scoreboard and the time pressure as well, where and we go away from what, you know, what works for us. So we need to make sure we're just laying a good platform and building into the game and then taking those opportunities. But when we've got a bit frustrated with how we're playing, because you look at us, we think we've had a great off-season, a great pre-season, all that sort of stuff, done all the right things and during the week as well, but just didn't happen on the field. So I think we've got to simplify it a bit more. Sorry. And then, you know, I've got a great forward pack. We've got to use them and get them going forward and, you know, get us on the front foot to allow those players to do their thing. So I think, you know, Jackie White come back in, he's going to be a good freshen up and everyone's going to be quite excited to play alongside him. So it could be a good timing for us.
Lots of suggestions that Lachie Ilias has been made the scapegoat, Cookie. How surprised were you that you'll be playing with a new halfback in Dean Hawkins this week?
Yeah, obviously we found out probably just after he did. So, you know, disappointing for him. You know, I think he's someone who works really hard at his game as well. He's always in there trying to improve where he needs to, doing his video, doing his kicking, always asking questions. And his effort in, you know, indeed, he's always looking to chase down those players if there's any breaks. So he's got all the right attributes at the moment. I think JD, you know, is going to put him back there to build his game, build his confidence back up and come back in. But, you know, I've got all the faith in the world that he'll be back in first grade for sure, mate. So he'll go back there and do what he needs to do and come back a better player.
Have you found it out in the field, Cookie? Because there was some commentary yesterday around that you go out there with a plan and the plan doesn't come off, as in you go away from what you've been training to do. Is that what's happening out there? Is that what it feels like it's going on out there on the field?
Oh, we're never training to make all those errors. I think that's where it's going wrong and putting a lot of pressure on ourselves. So it's just making it hard. Going away from the game plan, maybe like not so much in the end of the game, but you know, when you lose it on the scoreboard and the time pressure, it's you know, sometimes people try and, you know, solve things themselves, and that's where we've got to be a lot better at just sticking to the process. So, but you know, I think it's just comes down to all us individuals and making sure we're just knowing our role. Like, it can't just, you know, you can't fall all on a halfback. I agree with that. It's not, you know, where everyone has to know their role and do their job. So, and the poor thing is, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, I know being in the spine and then especially Lachie being a halfback, you, when the losses are coming, those spine members, especially the halfback, seem to cop it first.
Yeah. And it's, I know it's a fine line because while you have structure and you want to put certain things on during a game, you've got to have the ability to play outside that as well.
You do. And I think that's just comes with combinations. And, you know, probably not, you know, I was watching Penrith on the weekend, something I really enjoyed of what they do. And obviously they've won the last couple of comps, but they're not the only side done on the weekend, but they just didn't dive the ball. I thought they had a lot of fight in supporting each other and what they did on the field. And they don't want to dive the ball. They want to throw it around and play some ad-lib second phase footy. So I don't, you know, that might not be in our game just yet, you know, throwing it around. But we just need to make sure we support ourselves, each other a lot better on what we're doing. And, you know, even if it's just one off, you know, forwards, we'll be there supporting them as well, taking numbers off them and just not look like we're doing it all on our own at the moment. So there's a few work-ons, but, you know, like, I'm not worried at all. Really not. I know there's been, we've got a lot of press on in the media and stuff like that, and two losses isn't good. But, you know, once we click and we've shown signs in both games, you know, against Manly, we've gone, I think, two wins now. You know, we won majority of that game except for a 15-minute period. So it is there, and it's just nothing was there in Brisbane except for goal line D.
Well, we mentioned it off the top, Cookie. You know, it's all the noise around the club, and we're only 2 weeks into the season. You got the Latrell swearing on radio, the fallout there, your halfback's been dropped, you're 0-2. The NRL and your coach accused of giving players preferential treatment. You got Josh Mansour delving into his relationship with the coach on James Graham's podcast. I mean, to what extent does all this weigh the club down and emphasise the leadership and you know, everyone pulling together at the club?
It's a lot of noise. A lot of noise, outside noise is coming in. And, you know, that's where, you know, today it'd be really important that we make sure that everyone comes in clear mind and just wanting to train the best we can as a team. And JD speaks a lot about eyes in, everyone just looking in the circle and just worrying about ourselves and who's in that circle in this club. So that's what we'll be doing today to make sure you block all that sort of stuff out, because that's all going to happen. And I feel like we've dealt with it at the start of the week, you know, stuff we've trolled on that. And, I'd like, hopefully we just move on now. But, you know, sometimes, we can be Latrell an easy target for the media, you know, a bit of clickbait. But he knows what happened last week, and we just want to, you know, all move on from it and get on with our job. And the best way for us to do that as a club is to train hard, play good footy on the weekend and get the win. And, you know, everyone talks about winning. Winning fixes everything.
Well, it stops the noise, Cookie. Everyone moves on.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a big game against the Roosters, your arch rival. What have you made of their start to the season and how are you going to combat them? Because it looks like it's going to be a very physical game in the middle to start with.
It's going to be a very physical game in the middle. The boys will be ready to go this week in the middle, especially for Hargraves 150. No doubt they're going to want to stand up for him as well this weekend. So, 300th game. That's Cam Murray's 150th, actually. So, it's going to be a big battle. They played some good footy to start the upward. They played a good brand over there in Vegas. Suffocated Brisbane a bit over there. So, I think they're pretty always is an interesting game, obviously, this one. And no doubt it'll be physical as well. But I think for us, it'll come at a perfect time. The likes of Cam's 150, Jack coming in for his first game for the club against the Roosters, that rivalry, I think, all build up to, you know, a lot of excitement around the game, put us back on track with a good win this weekend over a quality side that started the year well.
I want to ask you about two players. Dean Hawkins, what can we expect from him? What type of player is he for our listeners that may not have seen much of him? And what has Jack brought to the club?
For Dean, this weekend you're going to see quite a calm halfback who loves to take on the line, and he's got a great kicking game as well. So we want to make sure we do our part and lay a good platform in the middle for him to get his great bring his kicking game into it. But he gets those opportunities. He loves to back himself and take the line on, which he's done so well in New South Wales Cup. So he's someone who's I've been training alongside Dean for as long as I think I've been at South almost, and he's someone who's worked hard at his trade for a long time now. So very proud of him and looking forward to him and getting another crack. In first grade. And for Jack, he's just a footballer. Like we spoke about when he first signed to the club, he just wants to play footy, wants to compete on everything. So I think we all know how he plays, but we're all looking forward to playing alongside him. But he's someone that doesn't give up on anything, runs a good hard line. So I think he's going to have some joy out there on that left edge. Should be a good battle too with him and Manu.
Tell you what else stops the noise, winning tips. Winning tips stops a lot of noise. Ask Loz.
Yes.
Did you get a win last week, Loz?
No, I didn't, Cookie. No, I haven't started the year great, but I'm about to explode this weekend. 5 group ones this Saturday, mate. I come into my own.
Who's your tip for the slipper, Cookie?
Mate, I haven't even looked, mate. I concentrate on the Wednesdays. You know, that's my
thing. Okay, right.
I've got a lot of listeners banking on this, mate. So I got off to a rough start. He didn't win last week, but he was in the race. So where are we at this week? We are at
Wyong today.
Wyong race 7, number 9, negotiations, good value, this one. So coming from $9.50 to $6, I like this one, hasn't cost yet.
Won its last three starts, it's a $6.50 chance, $2.20 the place. Ash Morgan in the saddle for Kieran Maher. Okay.
Wet up there too, which is good, he likes the wet.
Race 7, number 9, negotiations, $6.50. Good price, Cookie. Hey, go well Friday night.
Good luck, mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.